Welcome to the Jam Pack Report today for May the 7th of 2023. My name is Samuel Adams, and on today's show we are talking about some big comments from Phil Spencer on the importance of building good games and the potential that even those might not turn around a console generation and help the Xbox Series X and S outsell the PS5 or the Nintendo Switch. We've also got some big price drops on the Seagate expansion cards for the Xbox consoles, PlayStation put out a free comic that gives us a look at what to expect in Spider-Man 2, and on top of it all, Hogwarts Legacy is selling a ton of copies with plenty more on the way. But without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into it. Starting off today's show, let's talk about the biggest story of the week, and it comes from Phil Spencer's interview on the Kinda Funny Xcast. And if you have not had a chance to go check out this episode of the show, I cannot recommend enough that you do. It's about 40 minutes long, and it's very transparent. Phil is very upfront about the reactions to Redfall, the disappointment in the CMA's decision to block the Activision Blizzard acquisition, and he's just a very down-to-earth guy in this episode of the show. I really enjoyed my time listening to it, and of course, as you can see, it got plenty of news coverage as well from some very interesting comments made toward the end about the importance of putting out good games for Xbox and how that's not going to be enough to turn the tides of the console generation. This coverage comes from Kotaku, where they write, in a Thursday interview with XCast, Kinda Funny's Xbox podcast, the Xbox boss admitted that Microsoft lost the 8th generation console war, of course that's the Xbox One versus PS4, calling it the worst generation to lose, as that was when players built up their digital libraries of games. As a result, Spencer says most people who walk into a store to buy a console are already connected to an ecosystem and can't be swayed by big exclusives or other rival platform hits. He pointed out that some onlookers have suggested all Xbox needs to do to win is to build great games, and that will shift things, but Spencer claims that just isn't true anymore. He says, quote, "We're not in the business of out-consoling Sony or out-consoling Nintendo. There isn't really a great solution to win for us. And I know that will upset a ton of people, but the truth of the matter is that when you're third place in a console marketplace and the top two players are as strong as they are, and in certain cases have a discrete focus on doing deals and other things that make being Xbox hard for us as a team, our vision is everyone on console has a great experience and they feel like a first-class citizen." Going further, Spencer told the XCast podcast that even if Bethesda's much-hyped open-world space RPG Starfield ends up being a critical hit, that won't likely shift things in Xbox's favor. He says, quote, "There is no world where Starfield is an 11 out of 10 and people start selling their PS5s. That's not going to happen." Interesting quotes here, and a lot of it has been taken out of context. I commented a bit on it on Twitter throughout the week as the news broke, but I think there's tons of truth here, and I don't want to contradict somebody who is the head of Xbox, because clearly if anybody is attuned to what's happening at the company, it's going to be Phil Spencer. But I think it's a difference between the short-term wins and the long-term gains, because right now, if we're talking about this console generation, PS5 has already won. The Nintendo Switch, while it's still last-generation hardware, will never be beaten. It is monstrous to think that the Xbox Series X and S could turn that around and outsell either of those. And they don't really need to. That's not the point anymore, and there's been a lot of editorial pieces that have come out since this interview that says Xbox already lost the console war and they're not participating anymore. And I think that's a wise approach for them to take. But that's the short-term vision. We don't have to win a console generation, so to speak. The good games are what will be able to turn the tide for the long term and earn Xbox a bigger share of the gaming marketplace. Because right now, if Redfall had been a 10 out of 10, which it is not, but if Redfall had been a 10 out of 10, if Starfield is a 10 out of 10, if the future games that are coming out, Avowed, Elder Scrolls 6, Fable, if all of these are 10s out of 10s, Forza Motorsport, that is what is going to improve the reputation of Xbox and the long-term reputation gains over an extended period of time. are what can potentially sway people in the future once the next generation of consoles comes out, once they have a new opportunity to choose between PlayStation, Nintendo, and Xbox. Having great console exclusives that are released and that are unique, creative, and at a high quality, that is going to be a big factor for them when they're picking their console. Now, is that going to immediately make Xbox the go-to de facto console that people choose without even considering the competition? Absolutely not. Phil's approach here, talking about last generation hardware and losing that having an impact on this generation, is a huge fact. That's one of the reasons Game Pass is such a big benefit for Xbox right now, is because it basically gives people access to an entire generation of games, multiple generations of games in many cases, where they might have built up a library on PlayStation. Game Pass brings that library over for the most part. You've got a lot of big wins from last gen already there and waiting for you. But for people that bought on the PlayStation 4 like myself, I've got hundreds of games in the PlayStation store that I could download if I bought a PS5 today. And for a lot of people, that's all they need to make their choice when they go into a Target, Best Buy, GameStop, Walmart, whatever it might be, to pick up their console of choice. It just is simply going from one generation to the next. And for Xbox, not having that benefit has had a huge impact on the success of this console generation. But they've got to start building good games to turn that tide. And so, do I think that building good games is going to change this entire console generation and make Xbox win? No. But it is integral for the future of their platform. We can't have any more of this right here. We can't have any more of these 59s coming from the Metacritic score of Redfall. Once again, I want to reiterate, Redfall, the biggest first-party release in multiple years for Xbox, is currently sitting at a 59 Metascore on Metacritic and a 2.9 user score. Now, I don't put much credence or much value in the user score, because that's just a whole bunch of angry gamers coming to bomb it. If you go down, you can see a lot of zeros. In no world is Redfall a zero. A 59, however, from 55 critics on the Xbox Series X version of the game feels very valid. That feels very accurate. Because diving in, you compare first parties, no matter how big the studios might be, to each other. So, unfortunately, Arcane Austin and the fact that Redfall is a premier Xbox release of summer 2023, that is going to be compared with Sony bringing God of War, Spider-Man, Ratchet & Clank, all of their big exclusives. They are going to be compared in the public eye. This isn't going to sell consoles. This isn't going to win people over when they go to a store to pick up a new Xbox or a new PlayStation or a new Switch. We can't have any more of this. We've got to put polish on it. We've got to get it out the door in a way that is engaging for people, build games that are fun to play. Redfall just is not that. There is fun to be had, but it's not going to turn the tides. It is not going to win people over, and that's exactly what they need. And Phil Spencer acknowledged this. People started talking about his commentary on the XCast, and Modern Vintage Gamer over on Twitter said, "I don't think Xbox needs to build great games to win the console race. They just need to build great games." And Phil Spencer replied and said, "Well said and true." This is what I said on a video last week talking about the reactions to a lot of what's been happening in Xbox recently, the negativity around the brand. They've got to build great games. The strategy to win, and by win, I mean win over console players, to win over more mindshare in the gaming community, is to put out good games at a good quality that people want to play. It's as simple as that. And they're working on it. And I have full faith that they have great games on the way. Aaron Greenberg hinted at that. We got the announcement this week that we'll talk about in a minute about the Xbox Game Showcase. So there is more on the way, more surprises to come. But they've got to start nailing it. This is a very low point for the Xbox console generation across generations. I would say this is probably the lowest since the very low point of the Xbox One, and even now we're still at a pretty good spot. Strong third-party support, Game Pass continues to bring more value, and on top of that, big games that are successes are continuing to flesh out their experience, bring DLC, bring season passes, things that bring players back. But as far as new experiences that are defining a console generation, It's been a while since we've had one, and players are starting to get understandably frustrated. So, great interview from Phil. He takes ownership over the Redfall situation as well, talking about how he should have paid more attention to it. They're reevaluating their approach to releasing games and how they make sure quality controls are in place. It was very shocking to also hear that in the mock reviews for Redfall, it was double digits higher than it actually ended up reviewing. I'm not sure how anybody could look at that. I mean, maybe it was like a 75 in their mock reviews. I don't know what the official number might have been. But diving into Redfall from day one, on its best day, it's maybe a 6 out of 10 on its best day. Most days, you're looking at like a 5, in my opinion. And I probably spent about maybe 5-6 hours with the game. I think I'm going to put it off for now. I might dive back in a little bit. But with Star Wars Jedi Survivor being out, I don't feel compelled to continue playing Redfall at the moment. However, all of that to the side, great interview from Phil, really interesting comments. And I'm still excited for where the generation goes from here. You know, whether there's new hardware on the way that could bring a little bit more power, or whether we keep finding new ways to implement all of the power available in the Xbox Series X and S, there are good games to be played and plenty that are in the pipeline that are on the way. I mean, we've got over 20 studios at Xbox right now working on new games. That's exciting. And so while Redfall might be one flop out of the bunch, I'm still looking forward to what the future has in store. We've got Starfield coming later this year, Forza Motorsport, who knows what else is on the horizon for the next couple of months. So I'm still excited. The Xbox Game Showcase is on the way, which is exactly what is next here on the roster for us. Joe Screbbles over at the Xbox Wire writes, "We are delighted to announce that the Xbox Game Showcase will be live streamed on June the 11th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Immediately after the showcase, we'll be airing Starfield Direct, a deep dive into Bethesda Game Studios' highly anticipated sci-fi RPG. Join us for some new surprises and first looks from our incredibly talented internal studios and our many creative partners around the world. This is the day gamers have been waiting to see, or waiting for, to see what is coming to Xbox, PC, and Game Pass. Starfield Direct will invite you inside Bethesda Game Studios to learn much, much more about Starfield with tons of new gameplay, developer interviews, and behind-the-scenes insider information. Like last year, we'll also have our follow-up stream, Xbox Game Showcase Extended, airing June 13th at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, with in-depth interviews focused on the news from our Xbox Game Showcase, as well as game updates from our partners. You'll be able to watch our June 11th shows live through a variety of outlets and in over 30 languages and ASL, British Sign Language, and English audio descriptions. You can tune in one stream to watch both shows. It's a double feature at YouTube, Twitch, Twitch TV. Let me try that one more time. It's YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook /Xbox, with the show going live on June the 11th at 10 a.m. Pacific time and 1 p.m. Eastern time. Off the bat, excited to see Starfield because this is a big deal for Xbox. They really have to nail this one, and so we'll get not only more gameplay inevitably, but a deep dive into some of the experiences we'll be seeing in the game. Some of what these big Bethesda RPGs bring is absolutely going to be on display. Give me the dialogue, show off some characters, start building this world ahead of the launch later this year. So excited to learn more about what the game is going to be delivering when it does launch, and also seeing some big questions answered. Is the game going to be at 30 FPS, or is it going to get bumped up to 60 FPS? One of the comments from Phil Spencer during his interview on Kinda Funny was that they've been working more closely with Bethesda, because Starfield was earlier in development than Redfall was during the acquisition, so they were able to get in there and fine-tune the game for the Xbox consoles. So we could see a performance mode, we could see just better performance overall, maybe some higher quality textures, whatever might be coming. We are going to see what these integrations can really bring with Starfield. So that's going to be an interesting one to keep your eye on. But of course, the Xbox Game Showcase is always a good time. You get spotlights from third parties. You know, a big standout for me from last year's show was As Dusk Falls. It was a third-party game, but it launched into Game Pass and delivered one of last year's most memorable narratives for me. I really enjoyed what As Dusk Falls had to bring. So excited to see more games like that from third parties. Excited to dive into what the first party has to offer as well. Maybe seeing what we have with Hellblade 2 on the way. Could it launch by the end of the year? Time will tell. Where is Avowed? What's going on with Fable? Perfect Dark could make an appearance. We've got tons of games that have been announced, but few games that have been confirmed for release dates. So hopefully we'll get more dates, at least more big updates, showing off some gameplay. It's time to sell these consoles. It's time to prove to people why they need to keep the Xbox Series X and S around instead of going and playing most of their games on PS5. Because while Game Pass is a big selling point for this generation, we've got to have big first-party games to put on it. We've got to have people getting drawn in to the Xbox ecosystem beyond just getting Game Pass to play those high-level games that everybody enjoys on the service. So, excited to see it. Tune in June the 11th, 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be there checking it out. Excited to see what they have to bring. With plenty of big games on the way, you might need to upgrade the storage on the Xbox Series X or especially the Xbox Series S, and until now, it's been very pricey. Now it's just moderately pricey because the Seagate expansion cards are getting a bit of a price drop as reported on here by Engadget. They write, earlier this week, a handful of retailers discounted Seagate's expansion cards for the Xbox Series X and S to new all-time low prices. Now, Microsoft is making those price cuts permanent. As of Friday, pricing for the expansion card starts at $90 for the 512GB model, while the 1TB and 2TB variants will set you back $150 and $280 respectively. That's 32% and 30% off the $220 and $280 price tags of the 1TB and 2TB models that they started at previously. So all things considered, the one that I have, the 1TB, was $220, now down to $150. In comparison to the SSDs you can buy and install in the PlayStation 5, still pretty pricey. $150 is much more reasonable. Generally speaking, you can probably find like a 1TB SSD. Depending on which one you get, the ones that are compatible with the PS5 typically can be a little bit more expensive than the older SSDs that might run at the same kind of speeds. But either way, you're probably looking at between $100 and $130. So this is still a little bit more expensive, but it does get it down to those points where it is a little bit more comparable, because $220 for 1TB of storage is ridiculous in a world where SSDs that I throw into my PC probably cost like $90. Where I generally would find like a content SSD for me that I store podcasts and things on. So this is a big move in the right direction. These are becoming more and more necessary for people that are playing a ton of different games. Now, if you're somebody who has an Xbox Series S, in my opinion, the best way to use that system, if you aren't juggling a ton of different games at once, is to pick one game, play through it, uninstall it, keep on going to the next thing, especially if you use it as a Game Pass machine. But my Xbox Series X with 1TB of memory, it needed that 2TB pretty much right out of the gate, because today's games are coming in at 150, coming up on 200 gigs of memory. So you really should have a little bit of extra space here. And this is the easiest storage solution to date. Now, of course, Western Digital is also entering the market. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago on, I believe, the return episode of the Jam Pack Report. But with this, this is the old long-standing solution for Xbox Series X storage, so they have to maintain that competitive nature with Western Digital. So to see them drop these prices is absolutely a result of that, and this is the beauty of competition. This is capitalism at work, my friends. You dive in, you figure out which one you want, and you buy it, and it's up to these big mega corporations to compete for your dollar, and that's exactly what's happening here. But you also might have some PC games to play. You also might be installing some games on your PC SSD, and if you do, you might have Game Pass. And if you have Game Pass, you can share it with other people easier than ever, because Microsoft's new Xbox Game Pass referral program lets you invite PC friends to try Xbox Game Pass with 14 days of free access to the service for up to 5 of your friends. Man, imagine having 5 friends. Anyways, over at The Verge, they write, Microsoft is launching a new Xbox Game Pass friend referral program that lets you invite friends to try out PC Game Pass. Their friend referral offer is available for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass members to invite up to 5 friends for free 14-day trials of PC Game Pass. The friend referral invitations are available on the Game Pass home screen and are only available to be sent to friends who are new to Game Pass. Microsoft is launching this offer just as Redfall debuts on Xbox and PC, allowing Game Pass members to get friends playing the co-op vampire shooter. Of course, this is replacing the $1 trial offer that stopped a couple of months ago. So this is their new summer offering. And I think this is an incredibly smart decision because of games like Redfall, although it may not be the best example right now, but games like Back 4 Blood, for example, that are best played cooperatively. You know, even looking at the ones they have featured here on this graphic, you've got Redfall, you've got Sea of Thieves, that's another very social game, Grounded, Minecraft Legends. These are all games that are played best with friends. And so you can explore these single experiences like your Forza Horizon 5s, which is primarily a single player kind of game, Wolong Fallen Dynasty, Hi-Fi Rush, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, games like that. But bringing up to five friends into the mix can give you more people to experience that co-op nature of Game Pass with, to dive into multiplayer experiences alongside. And so I think this is a smart way to do it. It shows the fun that can be had on PC once you install and start playing with Game Pass. And they're doing this at a really good time where the Xbox experience on PC is just as good as the Xbox experience on, or I should say the gaming experience on PC for things like the Epic Game Store or Steam. It's improved drastically over the course of the past couple of years, so this is a great way to get more people into that ecosystem. I always love trying out new games and giving people more opportunities to dive into what Game Pass has to offer. So if you have Ultimate or you have PC Game Pass, this is a great way to get friends to try it. Or hey, you know, throw a couple of those codes out to the internet so people can dive in and see the action that Xbox has to offer on the PC side of things as well. Jumping on over to IGN, Hogwarts Legacy has now made over $1 billion and sold over 15 million copies. This news comes from the Warner Brothers Discovery earnings call where they dig into the numbers. And the craziest part about this is that it just launched on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One last week. These numbers don't even account for that. We're talking about $1 billion on current generation hardware that still has a relatively low buy-in compared to PlayStation 4 especially and the Xbox One. But not only that, the game just launched on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One last week. It's still coming to Nintendo Switch later this summer. That is going to drive a ton of revenue. We're talking about massive numbers that could potentially even dwarf this $1 billion. And Sony's been doing a big marketing push. Of course, they have the big marketing rights for Hogwarts Legacy, but they have been continuing to talk about the PlayStation 4 version of the game, especially on TikTok. I've been getting a lot of ads over there. And the Switch version inevitably is going to do some big numbers as well, because Harry Potter, Hogwarts Legacy, whatever you want to call it, is very, very popular in 2023 with all the recent movies, the TV series that's on the way. Plenty of people still care deeply about this world. And so this is generating a ton of cash to no one's shock. So this is just going to go up and up from here. But $1 billion is certainly nothing to shake a stick at. And in fact, this is the fifth $1 billion gaming franchise for Warner Bros., putting Harry Potter slash Hogwarts alongside the likes of Lord of the Rings, Lego, DC, and Mortal Kombat. Those are the top five franchises, all of which have earned over $1 billion for the company. So some massive numbers there. And I think between the last generation and the Switch version of this game, you could potentially be seeing maybe doubling that. I don't think it's worth, writing that off that early. I think that's incredibly possible. So time will tell. But that's not the only big $1 billion franchise that's putting out something big this year. We are talking about Marvel's Spider-Man 2. Now, of course, I'm talking about Spider-Man as a whole. The gaming side of things has not generated $1 billion yet. But Spider-Man is an incredibly popular game on the PlayStation side of things. And if you were interested to see what was on the way, there is now a Spider-Man 2 prequel comic book that was put out for free comic book day yesterday, May the 6th. They write over on the PlayStation blog, Saturday, May 6th is free comic book day. And to celebrate, we teamed up with Marvel to release a comic that will serve as a prequel to the upcoming game, Marvel's Spider-Man 2. When we initially sat down with the team at Marvel, we explored a few different ideas about what kinds of stories we could tell in a prequel comic, but we kept coming back to the same core premise. What if Peter, Miles, and MJ had to team up against a new supervillain whose powers they didn't understand? Additionally, we wanted to make sure we could get a peek into what this heroic trio has been doing since the events of Marvel's Spider-Man and Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales. What is Pete up to now that there are two Spider-Men in the city? How is Miles doing in school? And how is MJ's journalism career going? So here's a quick look at the cover if you do want to check that out. Again, I'm sure you can find scans online, and it was free comic book day. So swing by. They probably have a couple of extras laying around if they did do these in print. But I love this kind of marketing material because it does give you not only context as to what's going on in the world, but a cool little takeaway, you know, something cool to throw up on the shelf or keep in your digital library. So I like seeing comic books like this, and I'm excited to see what Spider-Man 2 brings to the table later this year. I don't have a PS5 yet. It's on my roster now. I'm kind of on the lookout. I'm starting to look because now we're at a point in the generation where I may wait for the next generation or mid-generation console refresh, but we have a lot of games to dig into. You've got your Ragnaroks, your Ratchet and Clanks, your Marvel's Spider-Man and Miles Morales, both with those next generation versions out. We have Horizon Forbidden West and then the Burning Shores expansion that's out now. We've got Gran Turismo. We have now Spider-Man 2 that's on the way. Wolverine quickly coming up shortly after that, although no release date has been shared right now. Very exciting time on the PlayStation side of things, and this is a cool way to celebrate that upcoming release. So we will wait and see how that one fares later this year. Some people say it's going to release around September. Time will tell. I do think this is going to be going head-to-head with Starfield, and I do think that this is going to dwarf Starfield in the main public eye. Not that it will in the gaming space, the people that are listening to this podcast, but I think Spider-Man 2 is going to be exponentially bigger than what we have coming with Starfield. But the biggest news of the week, I saved the best for last. Carl Urban is in final talks to play Johnny Cage in the Mortal Kombat 2 movie at New Line. This comes from The Wrap, where they write, Carl Urban is in final talks to star as fan favorite character Johnny Cage in the sequel to New Line's hit 2021 action-adventure Mortal Kombat based on the blockbuster video game franchise. Simon McQuid, who directed the 2021 film, is said to return. Jeremy Slater from The Umbrella Academy, wrote the screenplay for the sequel. The previous film was a new adaptation of the popular video game franchise that offered a grittier, more violent take on the material than the 1990s films. It was released in April 2021 and in theaters and on HBO Max, and was an early pandemic hit for distributor Warner Bros., raking in as one of the top feature titles on HBO Max since the streaming service debuted. I love this. I do not think he's the best pick for Johnny Cage. I said in a YouTube short earlier this week, I feel like he would better be played as Kano, or Kano would be a better fit for Carl Urban. But nonetheless, I like him as an actor. I think he's great in The Boys, and he's had some big spots in Lord of the Rings, Star Trek, and things along the way. So excited to see what he brings with Johnny Cage if this does in fact make it to the finish line. Again, this is not confirmed, but the Mortal Kombat movie back in 2021 wasn't blowing anybody's mind. It was okay. I watched it whenever it debuted, and I thought that it was pretty good. I would probably give it like a 7 out of 10, so we'll see where they go with Mortal Kombat 2. Of course, plenty of other characters you can dig into, and the real draw of the film itself is about all of the gore, the grittiness, the kills, the fatalities, much like the games themselves. The story of Mortal Kombat is interesting, and there is a new game on the way. There was a bit of a tease put out by Ed Boon a couple of weeks ago, but this is going to drive that hype even higher for the franchise as more and more people kind of get involved in that Mortal Kombat universe. So excited to see what Carl Urban brings, and overall just love seeing more and more games get the spotlight outside of the gaming screen and on the big screen, or even the silver screen on the TV side of things, with a God of War series on the way, Last of Us killing it on HBO. Lots of good things to celebrate here. So Carl Urban, if you do accept the role, best of luck to you. Excited to check it out for myself. But that wraps up this week's episode of the Jam Pack Report. If you enjoy the show and you're new here, be sure to hit that subscribe button on YouTube, add the show to your podcast feed of choice, and get it delivered right to you every single Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. There's always some good conversations to be had. But until next week, you guys have a fantastic one, and as always, keep on playing.